You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Now on today's show, in the first half, I want to talk about this game on Wednesday night. The Mets had an opportunity, although it was a very, very small one, to make it into the playoffs if they won out. They were not able to do that. I want to kind of break down what happened in that game and maybe some missed opportunities and also some good performances from some hitters. A lot to break down in that game. Later on in the second half of the show, I want to talk about Trevor Bauer, because while I watched the Mets game on my big screen, I had a second screen on the side glued to Trevor Bauer, and I was watching the Cy Young race, and he had one hell of a performance. Also, in the second half of the show, I will give you the miracle scenario that has to happen for the Mets to make the playoffs. Before we get into any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizedOnline.com. So Michael Wacha was on the mound, and he had maybe his best start in a weird way, because his season's been so bad. He did have a good start, his first outing of the year, but it has been a slog since then. Had a good relief outing his last time out because Steven Matz was so bad, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. In his last start, the Mets went back to Wacha, and early on, he was pitching pretty well and had a low pitch count. He allowed 2 runs through the first 5 innings on 4 hits, did give up a solo home run. And then there was another play where he got what could have been an out-of-home plate as Pete Alonso tried to gun down the runner. But Wilson Ramos, took the weirdest angle to try to make a tag instead of going straight into him. He decided to twist his body the wrong way and corkscrew himself counterclockwise, and the runner just slid in safely. Ramos has been pretty bad at the plate, especially in those situations making tags this year. I hate to say it, but the guy just looks like a player that might be a little bit washed. I'm sorry to say it, but he is in his mid-30s, and he just hasn't gotten into any rhythm this season, both offensively and defensively. He just looks slow all over the place. He was always a slow runner, but he looks slow in the field, and his bat speed looks slow as well. Now, Jeff McNeil prevented that third inning from being a real problem, as he made a great play in right field, catches what could be a sacrifice fly, and just throws a perfect one-hop throw to Ramos that even he was able to make the tag on the runner, and the Mets get a double play to get out of that inning. I did note on Twitter, I think Jeff McNeil's home is in the outfield. I've talked about this a little bit, and of course I'll get into it over the offseason, but right now I see Jeff McNeil as your starting left fielder. Now, if something comes up, if Cano or somebody got injured and you had to move him back into the infield, we know he has the versatility to do that. But Jeff McNeil in left, Michael Conforto in right, I think that's your future. They need to get a real center fielder, though. As much as I like Brandon Nimmo as a hitter, I think something has to be done there. We'll talk about all this in the offseason, but to me, they're a team with a lot of options in the corners and not a real bona fide starting center fielder. And if you want to be a real contender, you see a team like the Rays run out Kevin Kiermaier, and it makes a big difference to have that gold glove type outfielder manning the middle. Dominic Smith homered in the fourth inning of this game. That's his 10th of the year. He joined Robinson Cano and Pete Alonso as the 3 Mets who were in double digits in home runs. Michael Conforto has 9. Nimmo has 8. So the Mets have an opportunity to maybe get 5 guys in double digits if those two have a big weekend. Now, Wacha only threw 50 pitches through 5 innings. So I can't be too critical of Luis Rojas running him out there in the 6th. He looked pretty good throughout the game, but then again, this is You're back against the wall. World Series, Game 7. I mean, not really. But you have to go into the game with that mentality. And if you do think that way and you have a fresh bullpen, I don't know if you let him face a lineup a third time through. Then again, 50 pitches. I can't really blame Rojas here, but it is just a thought. Maybe a manager who has a little bit more gut to him might have made a move and, you know, gone to the pen and, I don't know, put Familia out there. Who knows what he could have done differently. Regardless, he gives up a two-run homer in that inning, and that felt like the game. 4-2, Mets are losing. You know they have to come back now. Miguel Castro pitches scoreless six, and then the game really ends in the seventh inning. Chasen Shreve, who we've been so complimentary of, comes in and gives up three runs, two of them on a home run, one that was inherited by Jeurys Familia, and he let in. And ultimately, the Mets are staring at a 7-2 deficit. In the eighth inning, one last managerial note. Brandon Nimmo was pinch hit for to put in Guillermo Heredia. And I get that you like your lefty-righty matchups and all that, but come on. When there's seasons on the line, when you need to score five runs at the time, you're really going to get rid of your best on-base guy and put in some dude that you claimed off of waivers who is not a good career hitter? I know he hit a home run the other night, but come on. You're really going to go and pull Nimmo in that spot. I don't care about lefty-lefty. Nimmo can hit a lefty. He's done it in his career at different points. He can at least get on base and draw a walk. I don't want to put out there some guy who hasn't been part of my ball club when the season's on the line. It's just like it's over-managing in that spot, in my opinion. And it's also, again, it's just live and die by your guys. And Guillermo Heredia is only here for a pit stop. Brandon Nimmo is a homegrown player who you should have a lot of faith and confidence in. Regardless, you go to the seventh inning, Steven Matz gives up a home run in an inning of work. His season just continues to be a slog. He's given up 12 home runs and 27 and two-thirds innings pitched. That is a home run per nine rate of 3.9. That means if you give him the ball for a start, he's given up at least three home runs. It's just been a rough year for Steven Matz. There's no way you can pencil him into your rotation next year. I don't even know what to do with him. I really don't. It's going to be, you know what, it is a short season. I still believe in his talent, but something went wrong this year. So hopefully offseason he works it out, but he's going to have to win a job in spring training next year if he wants to be in the starting rotation. In the ninth inning, the Mets did score a couple of runs, three to be exact. Robinson Cano got an RBI on a ground out. Todd Frazier hit a two-run homer, and I thought that that was kind of symbolic. Your big trade deadline acquisition, Todd Frazier, finally hits a home run, although it is his second in a Mets uniform this year, but it comes in garbage time, essentially, when the game is all but sealed with two outs and the Mets losing by, at the time, what was it, five runs. And so he made it 8-5 on the two-run homer, and that was the final score as the Mets dropped to 31 losses on the year, which means they will once again have a losing record. And that has happened far too many times in the Wilpon era. I think Tim Healy tweeted it out. Don't have it in front of me, but I believe he said it was 11 losing seasons out of the 18 in which the Wilpons were in full control, if I'm not mistaken. And three of the last 4 years have had losing seasons. So the Mets have really struggled. And that is why you're excited about this change in ownership. Anyway, when we get back in a minute here, I want to talk about Trevor Bauer, who was outstanding for the Reds, and also talk about the miracle that could still happen that would have this Mets team somehow playing baseball in October. Hiring is more important than ever, and Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can use for other important things like mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more on the exact same amount of parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you can want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in there, "How'd you hear about us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So Trevor Bauer was pitching for the Reds against the Brewers on Wednesday night, and I'm watching it on my second screen, and man, did it make me want him in a Mets uniform. I'm telling you, this guy is electric. He is polarizing. I get it. A lot of people don't like Trevor Bauer, but you like him on your team. You like him in a game where they're trying to find their way in the playoffs, and he pitches 8 innings, strikes out 12, allows just one run, and does all of that on 3 days rest. Now, because he pitched on short rest, he has the opportunity to pitch the last game of the season, if needed, to get the Reds into the playoffs, which will be interesting when it comes to the Cy Young race, because assuming the Mets are out of the playoffs, which, let's be honest, that is the likely scenario, the only thing left to root for is the Cy Young. So you almost want the Reds to keep winning so Trevor Bauer doesn't get back on the mound to boost his stats anymore. Or maybe if you think that he's going to blow it, you'd want him to pitch again on 3 days rest to get them into the playoffs, and maybe he has a bad outing. Personally, I'd like to see that storyline play out, only because if this guy has a chance to pitch his team into the playoffs and he does it on short rest again and he has another gem, give the guy the Cy Young because he deserves it. Honestly, under the circumstance of this crazy season, if that's what happens, if that gets them the second place in the Central or a second wild card spot, hats off to him. Give him the award because his stats are impressive. He now has a 1.73 ERA, and he's the first pitcher in the National League to reach 100 strikeouts. He has exactly that number right now. There was also a sequence in that game that I thought was really interesting for this guy's competitiveness. There's an error to lead off the inning, runner on first. He then gives up a base hit. You have runners at the corners with no outs. Bauer proceeds to strike out the next three batters and screams a little bit louder after each strikeout. Huge turning point in the game where he can give up runs and really let that inning go sideways. Gets out of it. And I know we've seen it with Marcus Stroman as far as the energy he brings, but I'm not positive he has that same level of stuff. Could be wrong. I really wanted to see Stroman back. And you know what? Bauer might get paid a lot, and Stroman might still be the better option ultimately. But I was really impressed watching him pitch. Another thing that's interesting is this 3 days rest thing is not just about making the playoffs. Trevor Bauer is very into analytics and monitoring his body. And when we talk about this in the offseason, I can get into it a little bit further. But he's a driveline guy where they, you know, have the computer models for how their arm angles go and everything else. And maybe a big thing this offseason is trying to get someone who can explain that a little bit further. But the point being, one of the head guys for Driveline tweeted something out about how this is what Bauer wants, to pitch on 3 days rest. And you look it up, it's not hard to find. Trevor Bauer has been touting his ability to go on 3 days rest. He wants teams to revert back to four-man rotations. He thinks that's the best thing for starting pitchers. And I think that's going to decide where he signs in free agency. So that's just food for thought. he's going to want whatever team he signs with to give him that opportunity as part of his negotiation. He wants to start every fourth day as opposed to every fifth day, which, if he can do it, obviously brings great value, because if he pitches like this and he makes 40 starts instead of 32, you're getting a lot of value out of that contract. So it'll be really interesting to see what his offseason looks like. And of course, if the Reds make the playoffs, he still has a lot of season left to continue to increase his value. And if he keeps going 3 days rest throughout the rest of the season, that's only going to make him the most coveted pitcher on the market. Let's talk real quick about the miracle scenario that gets the Mets into the playoffs. Had they won out, including this game on Wednesday, there was actually a pretty good chance the Marlins would have had to go 2-3 and the Phillies would have had to go on 2-2. Now, because the Mets lost, their only chance, and the Phillies won as well, is if the Marlins only win one more out of their last four and the Phillies get swept by the Rays. Let's look at the Marlins first. They've lost four in a row, three of which to the Braves in this series. The run differential this series is 25-9. If you include the 29-9 blowout that they had the last time those two teams met, they're being outscored 54-13 in their last four games against the Braves. They have one more against Atlanta on Thursday. They then go into Yankee Stadium to finish off their season. The Yankees don't really have a lot left to play for, as they are pretty much locked in as the second team out of the AL East, but maybe they want to angle for seeding in the playoffs for whatever reason. Regardless, it could happen. I could see the Marlins kind of falling on their face here down the stretch and only winning one of their last four. That's not the thing that's hard to believe. What would be harder to believe is for the Phillies only really needing one win as far as the Mets are concerned, probably a couple if the Marlins are winning baseball games, to get swept by a Rays team that just clinched the division. Now, Philly had a disaster against the Nationals on Tuesday night. They got swept in a doubleheader. In the second game of that doubleheader, they had a lead in extra innings, and Yadiel Hernandez hit his first career home run, a two-run shot, to walk it off. Heartbreaking if you're a Phillies fan. The next day, though, on Wednesday, they beat the Nationals 12-3. They had lost the first three games of that series, but got a much-needed win. And like I said, the Rays had nothing left to play for. They're basically a win away from clinching the number one seed in the American League. Minnesota has 35 wins. The Rays have 37. I don't really know if a one seed means anything to the Rays. You're playing on neutral fields. I mean, I guess you get to bat last in a potential playoff series down the road, but who knows how much urgency the Rays are going to bring into that series over the weekend. We did just see they're a great team that is really analytical, and it wouldn't shock me if they swept the Phillies, but I got to imagine with the desperation that the Phillies are going to have, they're going to win at least one, and that'll essentially end the season for the Mets. And of course, all of this is to say the Mets would have to sweep the Nationals in a four-game series. I don't think that's happening anyway. Now, David Peterson is going to be on the mound on Thursday pitching against Patrick Corbin. That is interesting to me because Peterson gets to pitch with, you know, the team's backing against the wall and needing to win. And I think that is a good test for the young rookie. We'll see what he has. Other than that, though, I think that's all we're rooting for over the weekend. Just individual performances. Andrés Giménez, Dominic Smith, Michael Conforto finishing out their year strong. Jeff McNeil with an outside chance at a batting title. And of course, Jacob deGrom with the Cy Young, where he'll be pitching again on Saturday. Anyway, that'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets.